This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Concerns about electric grid capacity remain in the headlines as surging demand, fueled in part by AI and data centers, stress the system and contribute to rising electricity costs. But what if your car could be part of the solution? It may be if you have an electric car. Vehicle-to-grid technology, developed by University of Delaware professor Willett Kempton, has been around for about 30 years, but the timing may finally be right for it to make its mark. This week, contributor John Hurdle takes a closer look at where V2G tech stands and why it may be ready to take off in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me this week to discuss what he learned. So, John, can you start off with a thumbnail sketch of exactly what vehicle-to-grid technology is? What does it do? How does it work?
Well, vehicle-to-grid technology allows EVs, electric vehicles, to send stored electricity from their batteries to the power grid during times of peak demand. And the idea is that the technology would be fitted to the EVs during a pilot program. It was kind of retroactively fitted to some EVs that belong to Delmarva Power. But the advocates hope that future EVs are going to be manufactured with this technology already fitted.
So how would this help the rising issue of grid capacity?
Well, by feeding unused power back to the grid, V2G can help to meet peak demand at a time of rising concern that the grid is not going to be sufficient to meet rising demand, particularly from data centers, which, as we know, are going to have an enormous additional demand on the grid. There's one crucial piece of data that's relevant here, and that is that according to the advocates' estimates, the EVs are actually parked, that is, they're unused, an average of 96% of the time. And so what they say is that that represents a huge asset for storage, that there's a source of electricity storage that could be used.
So this technology, John, has been around for a while. Why haven't we heard more about it? What's been holding it back from having this kind of impact we're talking about?
Well, this was proposed by a University of Delaware professor called Willett Kempton back in 1997, almost 30 years ago. And it wasn't widely adopted at the time for a variety of reasons. One is that federal and state regulation needed to change, and that takes time. Some of that has already taken place, and the state is working on that as well. The industry standards needed to change, and because EVs were not yet equipped with this so-called bi-directional technology, which allows not only the EVs to offload power onto the grid, but also to take power from the grid at the times that they need it. So that's the technology that will be fitted in order to enable this, and which the advocates say is actually scalable.
So what's changing now to give V2G a boost?
One key piece of changing federal policy about 5 years ago, in fact, is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission instructed regional transmission operators, organizations like PJM, which operates the grid that Delaware is a part of, to enable the application of this V2G technology. So that's one of the things that's changed that sort of helps the prospects of this. There's also increased demand for storage to help grid resources. And very crucially, there's cash available to EV owners for providing what are called grid services. And one of the conclusions from the pilot program that's just concluded at the University of Delaware and Delmarva Power was that up to $3,300 a year is available to EV owners for putting their power back into the grid. That's a calculation based on electricity prices between 2001 2005. And that number, in fact, for owners of fleet vehicles and heavier vehicles, that number can go up to about $9,000 a year. So those numbers will help to defray the additional cost of buying an EV. I mean, that, by the way, is currently about $10,000 over the equivalent model of a conventional car, a conventional vehicle. But it's expected to decline. And by the way, EVs now account for around about 10% of US new car sales. So, it's a minority, but still a significant chunk of the market.
So you've mentioned a couple of times this pilot program that involved the University of Delaware, Delmarva Power, and this V2G program. Can you talk a little bit about what Delmarva Power saw in this program and why it kind of helped them kind of see the value of V2G?
Well, Delmarva concluded that V2G is in fact scalable, and they did that on the basis that the pilot program was conducted using real-world conditions. So that means that is they used EVs, their own EVs, but they are commercially available. They used up-to-date charging equipment, and they noted that industry standards are changing in a way that would enable a broad-based deployment of this technology. So they concluded from on the basis of all of that yes, this is a scalable idea.
You mentioned some of the money that could be available to consumers who adopt this, or maybe companies or school districts that involve their fleets in this. Tell me a little bit more about that and how much they see this as an incentive for people to get involved in this.
Well, as we said, there's potentially thousands of dollars on the line for EV users and fleet operators, and this would help to erode the price differential between, for potential buyers of an EV versus that of a conventional car. As we know, federal tax breaks for purchases of EVs were ended with the so-called Big Beautiful Bill in September of 2025. But nevertheless, as we said, there's a fairly significant section of the market which is already taken by these, and the advocates hope that more people will be drawn into this market by the prospects of actually making some money out of selling this power back to the grid.
Is there anything consumers would need to do to take advantage of this V2G technology, or is it more waiting for the cars that are already fitted for it to be available?
The conclusion of the study that this is a scalable technology is based on the idea that EVs will be made in future with the technology already fitted. It's not based on the assumption, if you like, of an individual retrofit of EVs by the owners. The idea of scalability is much more based on the expectation that manufacturers will do this. And speaking with Dr. Kempton a couple of days ago, he did say he expects at least one manufacturer to start producing EVs with the V2G technology during 2027. He declined to identify that manufacturer because he's got a non-disclosure agreement, but he seemed pretty confident on that.
You've talked a couple of times about the need for some policy changes at the state and federal level to make this technology more readily used and available. What are some of the things that are kind of still out there that need to be done to move this forward?
Well, part of the puzzle here is that the state needs to change part of its regulation. And there is a bill which is under discussion by something called the Energy Stakeholders Group. That's a group of power executives, environmentalists, public advocates, and so on. That group is led by Senator Stephanie Hansen. And so she's proposed a bill that would allow utilities to treat storage in a way that helps both the grid and customers. So her spokesman says that there are active discussions in that panel on that bill at the moment, and assuming that the panel approves the proposed language, then it will go to the legislature. Unclear whether that will be voted on during the current session, but that's the status.
What does a grid operator like PJM think about this? How, do they see this as something that could be very, very helpful to the issues they're dealing with?
Well, what PJM says is that V2G is not yet used at scale, but it represents a significant storage resource that could help consumers lower their costs and even provide these cash payments that we've been talking about. I mean, we should say that PJM is urgently looking for solutions to boost power during the grid because of a lot of forecasts, including its own, that demand primarily from data centers is going to outstrip supply quite soon in the next few years. And so that expectation is already resulting in higher electricity costs.
John,
That's right.
based on all of this type of stuff that you've been reporting on, do you feel like this is a tipping point for V2G? Has it reached the point where it's ripe?
Well, there seem to be many more points in its favor than when it was first floated nearly 30 years ago. For one, it helps to address electric supply concerns, particularly from as a result of the advent of data centers. There's cash incentives, there's endorsement. The endorsement by the local distributor, that is Delmarva Power, and the grid operator PJM. EV costs are coming down and regulation is changing. So all of those things are new conditions that would seem to be in the favor of the wide-scale adoption of this technology.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. John's piece on vehicle-to-grid technology is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. Up next, Arts Playlist, where we preview the local performance of the first opera written in a U.S. tribal language. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.